inviting me to speak, and thank you for the nice introduction. In case some of you don't know what fracking is, you probably mostly know what fracking is. I'm going to give a brief explanation just in case. The full name is high volume, slick water, horizontal hydraulic fracturing. It's a combination of technologies used to extract natural gas from impermeable shale rock formations. The Marcellus Shale Formation is getting a lot of attention right now here in New York because it lies under a vast portion of New York State as well as parts of four other states. You've probably heard a lot about it in Pennsylvania. The shale formation is very deep, and hydrofracking involves drilling down and horizontally within the shale formation and injecting water, sand, and chemicals at very high pressure to fracture the shale and release the gas. The latest estimates are that there are 84 trillion cubic feet of natural gas in the Marcellus Shale. So that sounds like a pretty valuable amount of resource. The problem is there are many, many serious concerns about fracking. And by the way, when critics call the process fracking, they're really referring to the whole process, the whole industrial process of shale gas exploration and development. The industry likes to play games with the terminology. But you should all be aware that there are at least four myths that the gas industry propounds. Myth number one is that the industry claims that hydrofracking is safe. It seems that every week there's another study with more evidence showing that it's not in reality safe, but industry keeps denying any problems. In September of 2010, Riverkeeper had cited more than 100 cases across the country where federal and state regulators identified gas drilling operations as the known or suspected cause of groundwater, drinking water, and surface water contamination. And there have been more cases since then. And for a long time, Dr. Theo Colborn at the Endocrine Disruption Exchange has been showing that various chemicals used in gas exploration and development are endocrine disruptors. This means that they disrupt hormonal processes in animals, including humans, and cause numerous health problems, including birth defects. More recently, Bamberger and Oswald, a veterinarian and a Cornell scientist, published a peer-reviewed article on the negative impacts of fracking on animal and human health. And the Colorado School of Public Health very recently came out with their findings that high levels of benzene and other dangerous hydrocarbons are in the air near gas wells. Other research shows that Marcellus Shale gas is accompanied by a relatively high amount of radon, which does not dissipate by the time it's piped into homes for heating and cooking. All of these things can lead to serious health problems, including cancer, birth defects, reproductive problems, respiratory problems, neurological problems, and many more health problems. Myth number two, the industry claims that shale gas is a clean fuel. It may be cleaner burning than oil or coal, but there is independent peer-reviewed research that concludes that on a cradle-to-grave basis, shale gas emits more greenhouse gases than either coal or oil through venting and leaking before it even gets to the final burning location. If this is the case, then fracking for shale gas will be very bad for climate change. It's not, in fact, clean. Myth number three. The gas industry claims that the vast reserves of shale gas in the United States will reduce our dependency on foreign fuel. The fact is that many of the shale gas rights in our country have been sold to foreign corporations. And these corporations, and even some of our American natural gas corporations, have been applying for and receiving permits to convert liquid natural gas importing terminals into exporting terminals. Now, liquid natural gas is what they export. They compress natural gas into a liquid form so that they can ship it overseas. The price of natural gas in China and Europe is much higher than the price here in the US. That's because they index natural gas price to the price of oil elsewhere. So the gas companies have obviously recognized that they can make a much larger profit by converting our shale gas to LNG and shipping it overseas. How does that reduce our energy dependence? And a related issue, if we export our gas and put it on the global market. We are exposing ourselves to the global market, and our gas will rise to be more in line with the global market price. We have a glut of natural gas now, and the price here is low. So the industry is both curtailing production and increasingly planning for the export market. Note also that the gas industry is lobbying for measures to increase the demand for natural gas, ranging from the Pickens bill to convert large truck fleets to run on natural gas, and also the major efforts in New York City to convert the large buildings, office buildings and apartment buildings, to convert to natural gas for heating. Also note the recent EPA ruling, the proposed ruling, that any new coal-fired power plant must be as efficient as the average natural gas power plant. This will likely mean that there will be no new coal-fired power plants built. So all of these things will increase substantially the demand for natural gas. And with industry both curtailing production and planning for exports, supply in the U.S. will be reduced. With an increase in demand and a reduction in supply, we might be forced to forget completely about low natural gas prices in the long run. Even the Energy Information Administration has projected that gas prices will increase with exports. A recent MIT study, as well as a 2010 study by the Aspen Environmental Group, indicated that natural gas development will postpone serious investments in renewable energy. We must decide if this is the course we want. Encouraging natural gas development, and in particular shale gas development, will postpone investments in renewable forms of energy. We will continue to burn dirty fossil fuel. Our water, air, and land may become contaminated, and our public health may deteriorate. But it's all worth it because it'll be so great for the economy, right? This is the fourth myth. This is my final myth, and this is the myth that I usually talk about since I'm an economist. Industry claims that shale gas development will be good for our economy. Please remember that the oil and gas industry has a lot of money to spend on lobbying, political contributions, advertising, PR, and even economic impact studies in order to influence the public and our elected officials and policymakers. The fact is that conclusions made by industry-funded studies are vastly different than the conclusions made by independent researchers who are not funded by the gas industry. Independent and academic research and experience with gas drilling shows that regions with gas drilling are economically worse off in the long run. They suffer a long-term bust. Many of the workers that take the short-term jobs are transient workers from out of state, and they send most of their income back to their families in their home states to be spent there and help the economies there, not here in New York, for example. Our decision makers in Albany may be on the verge of making some bad choices for the health of the regional economy. The oil and gas industry is not a reliable industry on which to base economic development. Alan Krueger, the former chief economist and assistant secretary for economic policy at the U.S. Treasury Department, said, "The oil and gas industry is about 10 times more capital intensive than the U.S. economy as a whole." And he continued, saying that encouraging oil and gas production is not an effective strategy for creating jobs. Also, some important industries that are vital to upstate New York and may be more labor-intensive than the gas industry, will likely decline due to the industrialization of the landscape and the risk of water and air contamination. Such industries include tourism, agriculture, organic farming, winemaking, beer making, river and lake recreation, to name a few. I personally looked at data for New York State. New York State has had conventional vertical gas drilling for a long time. So I looked at the top 10 gas-producing counties in New York State for the period from 2006 to 2008. The gas-intensive counties were not better off than neighboring counties without gas drilling when you look at the number of families below poverty level, median household income, or unemployment rates. And Professor Susan Christofferson of Cornell University did a similar comparison for Pennsylvania counties later, and she reached the same conclusion for Pennsylvania counties. And the state of West Virginia did a study of their counties and reached the same conclusion as well. One example of a peer-reviewed study, and there are other examples, found that the highest levels of long-term poverty are in places where there was once a thriving extractive industry. All of the industry-funded studies, and I think I've read them all, and even the revised draft supplemental generic environmental impact study, commonly known as the SGEIS, which was done by our own New York State Department of Environmental Conservation, and from now on I'll call it the DEC, they all share similar omissions, exaggerations, and flaws. They ignore significant economic costs, and they exaggerate economic benefits, including employment, income, and tax revenue. They all ignore the likelihood that various existing industries that are vital to the region may be severely and negatively impacted. Costs to communities have been ignored. Costs associated with the increased demand for community social services, police and fire departments, first responders, and local hospitals should be estimated, and they have not been. Truck traffic and increased serious accidents and wear and tear on roads is ignored in all of the studies. There are around 1,000 large truck trips for each frack job, and this much traffic does a lot of damage and creates further pollution. There have been huge estimates in the state of Arkansas and the state of Texas, damage to roads that the taxpayers end up paying themselves. All health costs have been ignored. In fact, there's been no health impact assessment at all done for New York State. Property values have been a contentious issue in this debate. In Texas, the Wise County Central Real Estate Appraisal Board has devalued homes by as much as 75% if a gas well sits on the property. And remember that a decline in property value means a decline in property tax revenue for the state. And several experts have pointed out problems regarding the mortgage market. In particular, the fact that gas leases are in violation of residential mortgage terms is a huge problem. Also, about 90% of mortgages are sold in the secondary market, and that market has requirements concerning setbacks and hazardous materials and restrictions on commercial activity. So the risk goes beyond the small homeowner and local lending institution. It could impact the entire real estate industry and the U.S. economy in a bad way. We've already seen that some banks are not willing to issue mortgages to homeowners with gas wells or even nearby gas wells in some cases. We've also seen that some insurance companies are not willing to issue homeowner policies. So how can you sell your home if the buyer can't get a mortgage or an insurance policy or if the drinking water is contaminated? Property values on the shale may plummet. This cost is ignored in the industry studies, and it's not adequately addressed in the SGEIS either. Another important economic impact on the region that is completely ignored by all of the studies is the loss of future economic development potential after a spider web of pipelines is built. Gathering lines, transmission lines, and major pipelines. You're not allowed to build on or too close to these things. So this will prevent future building on or near these pipelines. It could be a significant opportunity cost going forward for economic development. In addition to the many significant costs that are ignored, benefits are exaggerated in both the industry-funded studies and in our own SGEIS. All of the studies seem to be based on exaggerated production assumptions. The SGEIS assumes that each newly constructed well will have an average productive life of 30 years. Other researchers have shown that the productive life of a shale gas well is far shorter than 30 years, more like 4 to 7.5 years. And the most recent estimates of technically recoverable gas in the Marcellus Shale is only 84 trillion cubic feet, far lower than the 410 trillion cubic feet that was used in the DEC's report. So remember, if exaggerated production assumptions are going into an economic model, then exaggerated projections of employment, income, and tax revenue come out. Also, there are technical problems with using the methodology They tend to use input-output analysis. I've worked a lot with input-output analysis over the years. And in some cases, it's an excellent technique to use. In this case, it's not an appropriate standalone technique. It tends to overstate the positive and leaves out many negative impacts. We must insist that our leaders in Albany consider all the costs to New Yorkers before allowing fracking. We must insist on a proper and comprehensive health impact assessment and a proper and comprehensive economic impact assessment. I recommend the website, if you have a pen, www.catskillcitizens.org. Catskill Citizens is all one word. It is an excellent website. It's one of the best in terms of being comprehensive and also very up to date with the information. And it also offers you the opportunity to take action steps to contact your elected leaders about this fracking issue. And it specifically gives you information about various bills that you can support by telling your legislators. Oh, and also on that website, if you want more information, more details on economic impacts, they also fortunately have a page with many of my writings on it, and you can contact me through there as well if you like. I think that's my summary of fracking, so that's it from me.